Psalm 97. Psalm 97 is the text we'll be using today. Not all of it. We'll just be doing a couple of verses there, verses 10 through 12. 10 through 12. The Lord has given me a tremendous, powerful message today, and I just really hope that this beginning here through this song and different stuff will really show you my heart and my passion for not only what I do, but what I really believe. And, you know, we think of, as was mentioned this morning, on, you know, losing a brother in Christ. We haven't lost him, my friends, you know, and we need to think about all those that there is that potential for, you know, and the message the Lord has given us is to proclaim his word and do it with truth, do it with compassion and care and love, and really be concerned about those that don't know, and it's very, very important. So I just pray that today the message would be very, very clear. But as always, I try to start off with a little something humorous, and I found a couple of things here that I thought was pretty funny. One afternoon, a guy is driving down the highway, and he's going out to the lake. He wants to relax and just enjoy himself and kind of get away from everything. Well, as he's driving along, there's a gentleman standing beside the road dressed in red from head to toe, and he's waving his hands, and he's trying to get the guy to stop. Well, the guy pulls over, and he rolls down the window, and he says, "How can I help you?" Strange reply, but this is what he said. He said, "I'm the red jerk of the highway. Have you got something to eat?" And the guy was like, "Well, I'm on the way to a picnic, so yeah." So he hands him a sandwich, and he gets on back on the road, and he's driving along, and all of a sudden, there's another guy. And he's dressed in yellow all the way from head to toe, and he's waving and waving. Well, now he's really getting aggravated a little bit because he doesn't want to stop. He's interested in getting on his trip, you know. Well, he pulls over. And he says, "What can I help you with?" And he says, "Well, I'm the yellow jerk of the highway. Have you got something to drink?" And he said, "Okay." So he reaches in his bag and he hands him a Coca-Cola and he gets on back on his way. And he decides this time, he says, "I'm going to make it to the lake before sunset no matter what. And I'm going to drive as fast as I have to. Nothing's going to stop me this time. Nothing." So he's driving along the side of the road. And all of a sudden, there's a guy in blue. And he's waving to stop. And he says, "Let me guess. You're the blue jerk of the highway. What do you want?" He said, "Driver's license and registration." So, you never know. You just never know. Two guys put in for the same job. Robert and James, they applied for the same engineering position. They were both very smart and really thought they had the same qualifications to take this test to be the department manager. They wanted to run the whole show. Well, they finished the exam, and they missed one question, each one of them, the same one. And so the manager went to Robert, and he says, "I appreciate your interest in the job, but we're going to give the job to James." And he said, "Well, hold on just a minute." He said, "We both answered 9 out of 10 questions correct, so I believe I should get this job. I've grown up in this town. I've been here since I was born, and that James guy, he just moved here." And the manager said, "Well, we didn't make our decision on the correct answers. That wasn't the problem, but the one that you missed." He said, "Well, how could one incorrect answer be better than the other?" He says, "Well, it's very simple. On question number 5, James put down, 'I don't know,' and you put down, 'Neither do I.'" So, Psalm 97, praise God. Praise God. Psalm 97, beginning in verse 10. And the Word of God says this: "You who love the Lord, hate evil." You who love the Lord, hate evil. "He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for those that have gathered here this morning to hear your word. And Father, I just pray now, Lord, that you would give this servant, Lord, as I humbly bow before you, Lord, I empty myself before you, ask for an indwelling of your spirit, Lord, that truth, Lord, and love would leave this pulpit this morning, Lord, that your word, Lord, would be so clear to each and every one of us before we leave this room today, Lord, that lives and hearts would change. Thank you for the opportunity to bring this word. Thank you again for each and every one that is here, everyone that is visiting, Lord. May their time just be a blessing. And we just thank you for what you are going to do. We give you this time and we dedicate it to you, Lord, and ask for your blessing upon it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all said, amen. Almost every one of us in this room today, if we be honest, if we have ever driven an automobile, a car, truck, whatever the case, we have found a time or two, if you will, that we were driving down the center of the road. Somehow, we weren't paying attention or whatever the case, we were going down the middle of the road. Now, quickly we correct that to get on the proper side, whichever one we need to be on. Maybe we've said things like, well, if we've been corrected maybe by our wife, or whoever. Well, I pay taxes. I can drive on both sides. I've heard people say that kind of stuff. And that's only partially true because the tax part is right. But we can't safely be on both sides of the road at the same time. How does that apply to a spiritual thing? Well, very easily. There's a term called a fence rider. How many of you ever heard that? That has been going on for a long time. It's a prominent position, if you will, in the world. And even sadly, and maybe even more so, within the confines of the church. It's a comfortable position, you know, because you don't have to take sides. It's a comfortable position. It's a place, though, of nowhere when it comes to where you really should be. It's a place of nowhere when it comes to where you really should be, or it is a place of being in the way. You know, if you're driving down the road and the car in front of you is on both lanes, straddling the middle line, you can't get around them. They're in your way. You know, and that's what we're thinking on here. So today I want us to share together a very serious word that God has impressed upon my heart that has made it so clear to me, and I'm hoping I can do the same for you. Today the message is called No Middle Ground. No Middle Ground. In other words, we have to choose a side. We have to choose a side, and it's one or the other. There's no in between. Especially when it comes to where we are with God. There can't be a question. It's got to be solid. Now, if you're in the middle, it's okay if you're the referee and you're trying to call it fair down both sides. You know, if you're in a competition, whether it's a wrestling match, a boxing match, a football, whatever the case, if you're a referee and you're supposed to be fair, you call it down the middle. But when it comes to our spiritual life and where we stand on what God has proclaimed as truth, what He has proclaimed in the Word as truth, we are either with Him or we're not. There's no in between. There is no middle ground. There can't be, according to the Word. Every believer, it is a very normal thing, and certainly an expected thing, if you will, to love God. We're supposed to do that. That's a normal reaction. Because believers are the ones who receive His love. We're the ones who retain and get everything that He gives to us. And that should bring us great joy. We should be exuberant about that. We should be excited about that. What Jesus did on the cross, the gift of eternal life that comes through His completed work, it ought to make every one of us just want to shout. It ought to make every one of us offer God our love back, because that's what it calls for. What He did for us calls for our love back to Him. You know, we sing the song, "Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me." He did. And that's why we give that back. When we love God, it is also very normal and very called for to hate sin. Now, mind you, I said hate sin. I did not say hate the sinner, because that is not what the Bible calls for. We are to pray for the sinner. We are to pray for those that are against us. The Bible says pray for our enemies. We are to show them the love of Christ, and we are to show them that it, without a question, there is a better way. We're to do that. But at the same time, never riding the fence or getting in the middle as if to put across or to say that what they're doing is okay in the eyes of God. We have to be on one side or the other, either there or not. Many today will say things like, well, you can't judge me. Not according to the Word of God. The Word of God says this. Jesus said in John 24, or 7 and 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Judgment must not be rendered according to anything but the Word of God. The whole Word of God. Not bits and pieces. See, today we find oftentimes people taking things apart, changing it, if you will, to fit their situation, to change it for one's own satisfaction. But that's not what we're to do. We're to stand on what God said. So in this text today, there is no middle ground. It's very, very clear. It says this, you who love the Lord, hate evil. There's no gray area there. There's no in between. It's not A, B, or C. It's not, well, you know, that's okay, but don't upset Sally now. Don't ruffle little Johnny's feathers. There's no middle ground. There is no options. There is no other choice, if you will. It's not multiple choice here. It's love God, hate evil. That's a strong word, but that's what the Bible says. When we look up the word evil, you know, sometimes we think of evil, you know, and we kind of depict it maybe toward things that we see on television and cruelty and different things. Well, and all of those things go along. But the word evil, when defined, means this. Morally wrong. Morally wrong. Bad. Wicked. Harmful. Injurious. Bad conduct. And the list just keeps getting longer and longer. As we make choices in life, as we go through life, we very often find out that those choices put us on one side or the other. You either make some people happy and some people mad, you know, or vice versa, whatever. But there's usually not a middle ground there. There's usually not too many things in between. What we need to understand as we look at the word here, our choices can bless us or distress us. It can do one of the two. There is no in between. It can bring good or it cannot. Verse 10, very clear. It says, you who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Here we see we can choose deliverance or danger. Deliverance or danger. With God or take a chance without him. That's not a good gamble. There's not good odds on that. You know, the people win and lose their whole fortune on taking odds on a sporting contest or whatever. Well, I'm telling you right now, life is not a gamble that you can afford to pay what it's going to cost if you don't have it right at the end. And we don't know when that end might be. It could be this morning. It could be tomorrow afternoon. We don't know. But here we see the Lord, and says so clear in His Word, He preserves those who live for Him. He delivers. When we reject compromise with evil, when we say no, when we tell the world's ways no, we can be delivered by the Lord. We can be delivered from those things. He is always there. He is always there. He is waiting. But when we're in the middle, you don't find any peace in the middle. You're torn. You don't find any joy in the middle. You don't find any closure. You don't find any ending. You say, which way do I go? I'm torn between. If I go here, this might happen. If I go there, that will happen. What do? We find ourselves in a quandary all the time. We find ourselves in a battle. God is saying, come go with me. And if you go with me, you can't be wrong. If you go with me, I will protect you. I will deliver you. You won't be wrong. But to compromise with the world means that I'm trying to have it both ways. I'm trying to have it both ways. And according to the Word, it is not possible. It says in James 4:4, You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now, how many of us would want to be labeled as an enemy of God? He's not the foe you want to fight. Trust me. It's not the one you want to take a stand against. No middle ground. It is so clear. In this passage, we see this word enmity. That word would suggest, as it's written, and some would think, that it means separation. But that's not what it means. It actually means this: a feeling or condition of hostility, hatred, ill will, animosity, or antagonism. How many people would say, I want to have that with God? That's not something you want to bow your chest at, but I say, come on! No, you don't want to do that. You know, you don't. This is not about, well, I want it my way. I want it my way. God does not provide middle ground. We're either with Him or we're not. It's deliverance or danger. Which one do you want? And that's what we have to ask ourselves, no matter where we are, as we go through this life. Charles Spurgeon once said this, and he's got some pretty awesome quotes as you study back through his life and his ministry. He says this: those who love the Lord will see His love revealed. Those who love the Lord will see His love revealed and revealed to them in protection from their enemies, and as they keep from evil, all evil will be kept from them. It's pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. Again, though, we see here, there's no middle ground. There can't be. So do we invite evil in by compromising? You bet. You bet you do. Today, and I stand before you ashamedly and say this, not personally and not about our group right here, because glory to God, I'm excited about what we're doing here. But let me tell you, as a whole, and I say this with what I feel like is authority, the church today has invited evil in by compromising. They've done it. They've done it. They have compromised and said, the Bible is no longer relevant. That's old, man. That's, you know, we don't need that anymore. We got the Reader's Digest. We got chicken soup. We don't need that. When a pastor can tell you and stand in his pulpit and tell you that he and his church body have no problem with abortion, when they can stand there and tell you they fully support two men getting married, that's compromise. There is no middle ground when it comes to serving God. It is thus saith the Lord, and that is the only place that we can stand on. If we invite evil in, it will come. It has no shame. It will not say, well, we don't want to bother you today. Never. It will always come in and come in boastfully and proudly. It would have no problem bursting through the doors and come in. This passage says, love God, hate evil. The Lord deserves. He deserves, based on what He has done, what He has given us, what sacrifice was made, God deserves our full commitment. Not part-time, not quarter-time, all of it, everything. It says this in Romans 12, beginning in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word holy means to be separate and distinct. Separate. That is what God is. He is separate from evil. He is calling for us to do the same thing. And in verse 2 it says, very clear, no middle ground. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How much more clear could it be made? It's a very, very clear message. Verse 11 of our opening text from Psalm gives us the second point. So we have deliverance, we have danger. The second thing we find in verse 11, as it says, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. We can choose light or dark. And I'm not talking about turkey or chicken. You know? You'll get that in a minute. But which side? Which side do we want to be on? It says here, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright, those right with God, in heart. To love God demands, not suggest, demands that we walk in the light. It just does. John 8 and 12 says, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Light or dark, that is the two options. That is so clear here. With him or with not. Again, I go back to Charles Spurgeon. He says, right leads to light. In the furrows of integrity lie the seeds of happiness, which develop into a harvest of joy. And I love this part. It says, God has lightning for sinners and light for saints. I like that. The gospel of Jesus Christ, wherever it goes, across the whole world, across the whole earth, it comes with joy. It comes with joy for everyone who will believe. And I say this, knowing that, that is not to dispute the fact that sometimes life is hard, but if believers today around the world that truly profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, man, He died for me on the cross, He saved me from my sins, I'm on my way to heaven. If believers around the world today would actually show that joy, I mean, let it shine. What a different place this would be. What a different time this would be. But trying to stand in the middle, trying to straddle that fence, if you will, trying to never take a stand, it only steals your joy. It never adds. It only subtracts. Never adds when you don't take a stand. I hear people say all the time, I have the pleasure, sometimes displeasure, if you will. It just depends on the circumstance. But I talk to a lot of people, and I enjoy what I do. I love my work. I love what God has called me to do. And I love trying to be an encouragement and a word of help to those. But I have so many people come across my way, and they start off with, my life is so bad. My life is so bad. Can you tell me why? And then they talk about, oh, I believe in God, but He don't hear me. My question is this, then where are you at? Are you on His side or not? Where are you finding yourself standing, on His side or not? Or are you in the middle trying to have it both ways? And 9 times out of 10, the bigger majority are those sitting in the middle. I want it my way. I want God. I love God. I want all the blessings that come with that, but I want to do it my way to get there. That's not how it works. Paul writes in Romans 13 and verse 12, he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Light or dark, no middle ground. Which one is it? There is no in between. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 gives us our third option. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Now for many, many years, that has been tied to, if you will, and in some ways it pertains, but tied to marriage. People, they use that as a marriage scripture, you know, you don't get unequally. But God is saying here, that applies to all of us. He said, you don't have anything that's not of me in your life. You don't be tied to this stuff. You separate, just like it said in Romans, don't be transformed by this world, but renew your mind with the things that I've shown you. Light and darkness have no agreement. They have no agreement. They have no fellowship. They do not exist together. God separated it from the beginning of time. There is no middle ground. So I say to us today, as I begin to kind of close this down, it is time to take a stand. It is time to stand up. It's God's way or the world's way. There's no in between. And the question we have to ask is, which one is going to stand the test of fire in the end? I was teaching this past week on our Tuesday night Bible study on building materials. It says in the book of 1 Corinthians, he talks about how the building materials, the things of our life, will be tested by fire, the works that we have done. And he compared those to hay and stubble and wood and stuff and said, they'll be burned up. They don't mean anything. In the end, God's way or the world's way, which one is going to stand the test of fire? In this verse in Psalm 97, in verse 12, it says, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Here we can see we have deliverance in danger. We have light and we have darkness. Here we can rejoice or we can regret. Which one do we want? We can rejoice or we can regret. A life filled with regrets. I wish I had. I wish I had not. And on and on and on. We can live that way. We can live that way for the remainder of our life. And live in that defeat, wallow in that misery. Or we can say, I refuse. I refuse. I won't let anybody, I won't let anything steal my joy. Because the joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world, praise God, will not take it away. That's what we got to base it on. Who gave me my joy? Because if it came from something temporary that can be taken away, then that's not real joy. That's a temporary, fleeting moment. Some people get all tied up, well, I'm not happy. Get happy. Get Jesus. He'll bring you some joy. Because happiness, praise God. Because joy comes, real joy comes from Jesus. Because nobody can't take that away from me because nobody didn't give it to me. He did. Something that somebody gives to me, they can come back and take it away. I don't want you to have it anymore. Jesus won't do that. It won't do that. When we love God and we walk in His light, it brings rejoicing. It brings rejoicing. It brings shouting. It brings excitement. The question is, are we letting that show? I love Jesus. Who believes that? There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. Yes, we pain and we suffer and we get sad in the times of hard things and loss. But we find praise. We find praise. I got frustrated. I'll tell you something on myself. I got frustrated this past week. We were at the grocery store. That ought to be enough said, but we were at the grocery store. And it cost way too much. Way too much. And we cashed out there or checked out or whatever the case. And we put all the stuff in the in the car. And I'm hot. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm human. I was hot. Because I couldn't believe that we had just spent that much money for this few little things that we had. And God reminded me, be thankful you could do it. Instead of griping about it. Be thankful you could do it. I've given you the ability to do it. Are we letting it show? There is no middle ground, my friends. That's not to say that every day is peaches and ice cream. It's not. But we rejoice in the blessings. Or we can choose to wallow in the regrets and the misery of all the things of the world. There's no in between. You can't rejoice in God and be miserable. That's not what the Word says. Thanksgiving and joy and gratefulness comes from committed hearts. That's what we're supposed to do. Compromising with the enemy will always, every single time, bring regret. Every single time. Those moments of, well, I'm not sure. what do I do? Those moments when you're looking over your shoulder, they bring regrets every time. When that deep down, that gut-wrenching feeling that you know better, and you go against that, it brings regrets. When you've convinced yourself, and the devil's whispering in your ear, oh, nobody will know. Oh, boy, that's a lie. You never know who's sitting at the stop sign. But nobody will be hurt. It's my choice. I can do whatever I want. It's my life. I'm going to be happy. We are telling God when we represent and when we come to that conclusion, we're telling God what you offer is not enough. I got to add to it. I got to be a part of that. I'll try it over here for a little while. I'll try it over here for a little while. My friends, I'm telling you today, the word is clear. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. We are called, commanded, if you will, to hate evil. To hate evil and not have it be a part of our life. And it is because if we truly, fully, completely love God and that which is not of Him, we should not want anything to do with that which things that are defiling to Him, those things which He says no to. We are to rejoice in who He is. We are to rejoice in what He has done for us and give Him thanks. And thank Him for the completed work of the cross. It all comes back to that. It all comes back to that. We can rejoice or we can regret. The question is, which one brings victory? Which one brings victory? A compass. If you've ever been on a hiking trip or you've ever done whatever and you use a compass, it's for giving direction. It's for letting you know which way you're going. Well, I'm telling you this morning, loving God and hating evil is our compass for life. It tells us which way to go. It tells us what to do. Our goal must be, we talk about goals in life. Oh, I want to accomplish this. I want to do that. I want to get to this place. I want to go on this trip. I want to make this much money. I want to have this kind of car. Goals. I'm telling you this morning, our goals as believers, as a body of Christ, must be full surrender. Full surrender. Full, total, complete surrender. There can be no middle ground. God, I'll give you 3 hours this week, but I'm going to do everything else that I want to do, and if I get around to you, good. That's not okay. He says, I want all of you, because He says, why do you worry about all this or that, or what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, all this other stuff? He said, just trust me. Seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be given unto you. He's not saying go lay down on the ground and say, okay, God, pour it on me. That's not what He's saying. That's not what He's saying at all. He's saying, trust me for the knowledge, the wisdom, the ability, the opportunity, and take it and run with it. And I believe this morning as we move forward here in this body of believers, in this church, that God has given us a vision. I've shared that with you. And ever so briefly, not to get off the subject, let me share just on that note. We are still in the process of that. That has not changed. We've not talked about it lately. We ran into just a little bit of red tape, but everything is still full steam ahead. And good news is on our way, I can promise you that. We've been given a vision, a very clear vision. And the attitude, the idea, the embracing, if you will, of this attitude of full surrender is how we're going to get there. It's how we're going to do what God has called us to do, and that is to reach this community with the gospel of Christ. You know, I believe this. In our individual lives, oftentimes we have a project, or we have this, or we have that. And we maybe put the word out, or maybe we ask a few people around, you know, I need some help, and nobody ever helps. So what do we say? I'll do it myself. If nobody else wants to preach the gospel, if nobody else is worried about lost souls, I can guarantee you we are. And we will lead the charge and do it so proudly because I know what God has called us to do. And I believe with all my heart, there is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. We must say today, I will please God or not. There's nowhere in between. There's nowhere in between. Our love for God is clearly measured by our hatred for evil. Think about that. Do I have any compromise in my life? Do I have any tolerance, if you will, or straddling over this issue or not? As we examine our hearts today, as we stand before and we observe the Lord's table, as we examine our hearts today, we must ask ourselves, how much do I love God? How much do I love God? And how much does it show? Does everybody know it? Is there not a question? Do I choose deliverance? Or do I want to live on the edge? And I want to risk danger? Do I walk and want light to lead me? Or do I want darkness to keep me blind? Do I rejoice? Or do I just linger in regret? Because remember, there is no middle ground. It is one side or the other. The question we must ask is, which one do we want? Which one do we want? Which one do we want our spouses and our children, our parents and our friends and our loved ones, which one do we want them to have? And I'll close with this. Eternity is a very long time. Eternity is an extremely long time. It is imperative that we see the truth now and we embrace the truth now. It's very important. It's never been more important at all. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word in song and in spoken word. And now, Father, as we have an opportunity to observe your table, as we examine our hearts, Lord, and ask ourselves, where do I stand with God? Am I okay with some of the things that goes on in the world? Do I see things, oh, well, that's not that bad? We need to make the measure against what your word says. And Lord, if your word says that it's evil or that it is not of you, then we must understand that that is the side we must take. No matter whether it wins friends or loses them. Because Lord, your word says that the world will hate us because of you. That if we were of the world, they would love us. But if we were not of the world, and we are not of the world because you chose us out of the world, may we embrace your way today. And as we examine our hearts, Lord, if there's anything in our life that we need to make right, may we simply just ask you to forgive us. And Lord, as we observe this, may we remember the work of the cross. Remember the sacrifice of Jesus and what he did. And Lord, as we close beyond our time of communion and have a moment of invitation, I pray, Lord, that hearts have been moved today in a mighty way. I really do. I pray, Lord, I would love to see the altar full. I'd love to see somebody get saved. Whatever your will be done today, Lord, we just give you this time and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen.